You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Minnesota Timberwolves fan site on the Fansided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. Hopefully your week is going well. Today, I want to talk all things NBA draft, talk a little bit about the NBA draft combine, which is, I guess, technically officially underway right now. I want to talk about that process this year, some of the prospects who are and are not participating, which is pretty interesting. This is a list that just came out a couple of days ago, and we hadn't talked about it here earlier this week. So I want to touch on that. And then also there's a consensus mock draft that's being done at NBA.com that takes 10 of the more popular mock drafts from national sites around the interwebs and combines them into a consensus mock. So I want to talk about that. And then also numbers 11 and 12 on my big board, we keep inching closer to 17, which is of course where the Wolves have a pick. They have the first pick, they have the 17 pick, which was originally the Brooklyn Nets selection. And that will be kind of how we wrap up today. So find out who I have just outside of the top 10. It is a little different than than Big Board 1.0 that we did earlier in the summer. So before we get to that, a quick reminder to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves. That's at LockedOnTWolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So NBA Draft Combine. So traditionally, this is a 3-day event. I think it's usually a 2-day TV event in mid-May in Chicago that all the teams are represented at. Most of the draft prospects, although it really ends up being kind of a handful of likely first-round selections, basically all the guys that are trying to get picked in the second round and a number of guys who likely know they're not going to get drafted at all, that show up at the combine and try and improve their draft prospects. A lot of times guys will show up and just do interviews, maybe do some of the drills, the agility stuff, the full court sprints, whatever that might be, the shooting drills maybe, but not do the 5-on-5. So a lot of times the 5-on-5 ends up being the second round undrafted guys who are trying to raise their draft stock, catch the eye of teams that might pick them up in the second round or add them to their summer league team. And that's typically what it turns into, but it's usually fun to pay attention to, see some of those measurables for guys who do participate somewhat and hear Fran Fraschilla and, he waxes poetic on international players and, we'll get to hear Jay Billis and Jay Williams and all the guys from ESPN's coverage. They do a really good job with that. But this year, instead of a 2 or 3 day event, of course, because of COVID-19, this has become a drawn out process that's basically taking place from this week through mid-November. Of course, the draft is now November 18th. Most of the interviews are being done over the next few weeks virtually with between prospects and teams. And then at some point during the month of October, this is according to the NBA.com, the press release the NBA put out regarding the draft combine over the weekend, I guess. Each prospect in the draft will go to the closest NBA market and do these measurables. They'll have people that take down the measurements. They'll create a pro day video. So there's like basically a template for these players to put together a video that, of them doing these workouts and going through these drills that you would typically do at the combine. And then they will also go to an NBA affiliated medical professional or a physician in their the closest NBA market to where their home base is, basically, and get all their medical testing and examinations done. The NBA also said that they're going to incorporate Home Court, which is a mobile basketball training application, uses advanced machine learning and computer vision to provide analytics and record the shooting evaluation portion of the NBA combine. Players make that unique pro day video, and it's can be up to 45 minutes. They can use a coach or a trainer helping them. That's kind of taking the place of some of those individual drills. They're also using Combine HQ, which is an online tool developed from Fusion Sport and its software platform, Smartabase. And basically this is going to be a database of all Combine measurables, not only from this year to compare players to their peers, but also from past years. And that looks like it'll be accessible for team scouts, and players and coaches and everybody as well. So innovative and interesting the way that they're going to do this. It sounds like some of it could even spill into November, but primarily will take place throughout the month of October. No idea how much of this is going to get shared, if players will put their pro day videos out there, to try and, gin up some public support or whatever that might be. I think most of this will kind of take place behind the scenes, but we're already hearing about some guys who have been interviewed. thus far by various teams, including the Timberwolves. That's kind of started to come out this last week. We know that the Wolves have interviewed all three of the Minneapolis natives, or the Twin Cities area natives, who are who will all be drafted, and at least two of them in the first round, most likely. Trey Jones, who of course went to Duke, and is Tyus Jones's brother. Daniel Oturu, who's from Minneapolis and went to the University of Minnesota, played for the Gophers. And then Tyrell Terry, who's went to De La Salle High School in Minneapolis and attended Stanford. He's probably a second round pick, but could slide into the first round. Jones and Oturu will both probably be late first round picks. But all three of those guys have interviewed with the Timberwolves already. And we know that LaMelo Ball has not. We talked about that the other day. The only team he's talked to is the New York Knicks, but of course will talk to the Wolves eventually. And this process, you know, teams are just getting going with the draft interview process. So there's really nothing too noteworthy there, because everyone basically is going to get talked to by every team that's, you know, remotely interested. And of course it's in some ways easier this year, because you don't need to physically get them into your market. You just do a virtual call in most cases. And also, the local guys, if they're still in Minneapolis, in the Minneapolis area, you know, Terry Jones and Oturu, it's actually easier for them to interview with the Wolves, because they're probably going to go there for their testing anyways, based on the NBA's press release on this. So we'll see how that all shakes out. See what other players that the Wolves actually speak to as part of the process. All right. Next up, I want to get into the consensus mock draft on NBA.com, which I thought was pretty interesting. And basically, you know, we'll talk about the different mocks that they pulled from, what the consensus is, what the biggest kind of fluctuation there is. And then we'll roll right from that into numbers 11 and 12 on my big board 2.0. But first, let's talk about DoorDash. You want Chinese food, they want pizza, and someone is craving Froyo. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the US, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities that they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off, zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off plus zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, the code's LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, let's talk a little consensus mock draft. This is NBA.com. This is Drew Packham at NBA.com, published actually just early on Wednesday. So this is hot off the presses. A second consensus mock draft. He pulls mock drafts from around the internet. So there's five of the 10 that have been updated over the past few weeks that he includes. Those five are The Ringer, The Athletic, Bleacher Report, Tankathon, and CBA Sports. He also has ESPN. He's got Net Scouts in there. SI.com, that's 8 of the 10. Yahoo Sports and SB Nation are the 10 that he pulls. So all reputable sites, all sites that, you know, I've cited before for various things here on the show. So he pulls the consensus and then lists the most common picks at each spot in the draft. So the way he's got it laid out is, number one, the most common selection for the Timberwolves is Anthony Edwards. 7 of the 10 mock drafts have him going number one to the Timberwolves. The teams that have the Wolves taking LaMelo Ball are ESPN, The Athletic, and Net Scouts. The other 7, so not everybody that's not ESPN, The Athletic, and Net Scouts, has the Wolves taking Anthony Edwards. Then 4 of the draft, of the mock drafts, have LaMelo Ball going second to the Warriors, which means that there's at least one that has James Wiseman going second. And actually, I just saw one. I think it's The Ringer, has Denis Avdija going second. Let me pull that up real quick. And yes, he does have Denis Avdija going second. Of course, the wing from Israel going second to Golden State, and LaMelo Ball going third to Charlotte. But at any rate, going back to the consensus, he's got LaMelo Ball second. 4 different mock drafts have Ball going second. James Wiseman, 4 drafts have him going third to the Hornets. So now, you know, I mean, Edwards going 1, 7 of the 10. The rest of these, there's no other selection that has, there's only one other one that has more than 4 of the 10 that have that pick in place. So Wiseman to the Hornets, 4 Four mocks have that. Dani Avdija to the Bulls at 4. There's 3 mocks that have that. And then there's a tie between Avdija and Obi Toppin at number 5 to the Cavs. There's 4 drafts. So 4 drafts that have Toppin going to the Cavs at 5 and 4 that have Avdija going to the Cavs at 5. From there, it gets really splintered, as you might guess, as you continue going through the first part of the first round. The only one that outside of Edwards that has more than 4 mocks picking a player to a team is Patrick Williams to the Spurs at number 11. There's actually 6 of the 10 mock drafts that Patrick Williams going 11. We just talked about him. He made it into my top 10 of my most recent big board, the one that we're still going through, 2.0. Patrick Williams, for me, was in the teens last time around. He's all the way up to 7 on my big board. And if you missed the conversation about that, that's a few episodes back now, but I have him at number 7 on the big board. And, you know, go back and listen to that and listen to all my reasons why. We'll probably do a 3.0 big board here before the draft, but he's at number 7 on my big board. Most of these mock drafts have him falling to the Spurs at 11, but that's still higher than my initial big board where I had him at 14. So he's kind of all over the place with these mock drafts, but 6 out of 10 having him pegged to the Spurs says a lot about, I think, him as a prospect, because the Spurs have generally drafted so well. And then also it shows that the Spurs definitely have a type. There's really no major surprises. The one note that NBA.com that Drew Packham has in here that's interesting is the one player who, he says there's one random name that shows up high in one mock draft. That's Kyra Lewis Jr. We're going to get to him very soon in my Big Board 2.0. They have Kyra Lewis Jr., Alabama point guard, going to the Knicks at number 8 in the CBS Sports mock, but only one of the other 9 mocks even has him in the lottery. 10 players appeared on all 10 mocks. That's, of course, Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, Dani Avdija, Onyeka Okongwu, Obi Toppin, Isaac Okoro, Tyrese Halliburton, Killian Hayes, and Patrick Williams. So not a surprise for any of those 10. Those guys are pretty much always in the top 10 or 11. I don't think you see any of those guys really slipping past 11. And so that's not really a surprise. But Kyra Lewis is a little bit of a surprise to see him getting as high as 8 to the Knicks. So what I want to do next is I want to jump right back into the big board. I'll do a quick rundown of where we're at so far, where we stand through the first 10 picks that we've gone through, and then launch into numbers 11 and 12. So number 1 on my big board 2.0 is LaMelo Ball. Number 2, Georgia's Anthony Edwards. Number 3 is Killian Hayes, of course, played in France. And number 4, Obi Toppin, big man out of Dayton. Number 5, Devin Vassell from Florida State. Number 6, Tyrese Halliburton. Number 7, Patrick Williams, jumping all the way up from the mid-teens in my last version of this mock, or excuse me, the big board. Number 8, Isaac Okoro, the wing from Auburn. Number 9, Sadiq Bey out of Villanova. Number 10, Onyeka Okongwu. And now today, I want to talk 11 and 12 on the big board, and that is coming up next. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. If you don't believe me, you have to try it. Dead serious. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. And just when you thought it couldn't get any more delicious, it did. There were 12 original flavors that were all fantastic. My favorites, mint brownie, toffee almond, really, really good coconut. There's 6 brand new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. They are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they do genuinely taste exactly like a candy bar. And not only is the flavor even better than ever, but the packaging's brand new, the logo's brand new. It's all sleek, it's all delicious, it's all, you know, revamped and ready for you to enjoy. The bars are perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight, maybe maintain weight while still indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are all low calorie, they're low in sugar, high in protein and high in fiber, and perfect if you're on a keto diet. I'll give you the flavor profile of the cookies and cream just as an example. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories only, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams net carbs. And now for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. You can go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. If you've already ordered, you can do it again. Use the promo code. That's promo code LOCKEDON at builtbar.com, and you'll get another $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, let's talk big board back to number 11 and number 12. Number 11 on my list this time around, sliding, actually staying in the exact same spot as last time, is Aaron Nesmith the wing from Vanderbilt. Nesmith is a really interesting one because his three-point shooting was just unbelievable last year at Vanderbilt. He shot 115 three-pointers. That's more than 8 attempts per game, and he shot 52.2% on three-pointers. That's over 50, not from the floor, on three-point attempts, and he shot 115.8 a game. He's 6'6", has a 6'10 wingspan, so NBA size, clearly can step in and play the three in terms of his size and his shooting ability. He's also intelligent and a good defender. He can play within probably a variety of offenses. He is a good screener and a really good catch-and-shoot guy. Even though he's smart and a good defender, he's more of a scheme defender and, you know, kind of a he's not super switchable because he's not outstanding laterally, and that's not really ideal on either end of the floor. So it plays into him being a little bit limited offensively. Again, more of a catch-and-shoot guy. And while he can be a strong defender, he's not going to be an outstanding defender. Think, I guess, the Timberwolves player that he would remind me of, at least in terms of trying to describe how he plays defense, Juancho Hernan Gomez is a good example. Hernan Gomez is obviously bigger. He's a power forward. He's a different player than Aaron Nesmith. But in terms of their defense, they're both solid defenders. They're both intelligent defenders. They know where to be and when. But neither one of them is super switchable because they're not ultra fast, ultra quick laterally. Hernan Gomez can kind of get caught in the washer a little bit on switches, not because he doesn't know where to be, but because he's not quite as quick laterally. He can't stay in front of guys quite as well. But he again, knows where to be. He can contest a shot. He can stunt and get back and rebound a little bit. All things that Nesmith can do, albeit probably more three at the NBA level than four, which is what Hernan Gomez plays, obviously. But his decision-making and passing and offense isn't great either. So if he's going to be, you know, plugged into an NBA offense, he's going to need to know how to rotate the ball on the perimeter. He's going to need to know where to look, what his reads are on the perimeter. He's not going to put the ball on the floor a lot. And so you're not going to get much offensive creation or really sound decision-making from him. His role is going to be get down the court, stand in the corner, get open on the wing, whatever, and catch and shoot. And, you know, maybe cut a little bit with his size. He's not an outstanding athlete. Again, you know, issues moving laterally, but being intelligent and understanding spacing, there could be a role, you know, basically what you'd want Josh Okogie to do on offense, which is get open, cut to the basket, and be a good enough three-point shooter to knock down an open shot. And you plug him into the Josh Okogie role and you'd give something up on defense, but offensively it would be an improvement. As I said, he's much more likely to play the three pretty exclusively at the NBA level. He's probably too big and not quick enough laterally to guard twos, and he's not really big enough to realistically play the four, and not likely going to rebound a ton right away at the NBA level, although that wingspan and size is definitely solid. So those would be the main concerns. But I mean, for a team that's perpetually looking for shooting in the Timberwolves and a team that wants to shoot as many threes as possible, Nesmith is an intriguing prospect. A lot of the mocks have him kind of in the mid-teens, late lottery, I should say. But he really could be kind of like a top flight role player type guy who could step in and be your seventh guy on a decent team, come in and knock down jumpers. And you know, I mean, Tyler Hero is, I'm not saying he's Tyler Hero because I don't think he is necessarily, but Tyler Hero last year, there were concerns about, you know, some of the same concerns. People didn't know where he was going to get picked. He slid to 13. The Timberwolves passed on him, of course. You know, they traded up. They could have had him at 11 had they stood pat instead of trading Dario Saric to Phoenix to get up to 6 and get Culver. But Hero went 13 to the Heat. I mean, that's the sort of range where you're looking at Nesmith and a similar skill set in terms of, just a flame-throwing jump shooter. And, high energy type guy. He's a little bigger than Hero, but not a lot. I mean, similar size. I do think that Hero can maybe do a little bit more in terms of creativity and, not a lot more, but I think that's just how limited Nesmith is when it comes to playmaking. And he's probably more of a stationary guy and maybe a little less dynamic than Hero. But I still think that means he's 11 on my big board. He probably is on the board somewhere in that 10 to 15 range. Remember, the Wolves draft at 17. So whether it's sliding up to get him or if he's a trade back target, he's somebody that the Wolves will definitely keep an eye on draft night. All right. Number 12 on the big board is Kyra Lewis Jr. I had him number 9 last time around. I bumped him down a little bit. I think I like him as a prospect. I think if Jordan McLaughlin wasn't a thing, like if he didn't break out late in the season, or perhaps that the Wolves aren't actually sold on McLaughlin. I don't know what their perspective is, but if they think it was a kind of a you know, a little bit of, you know, him playing over his head or luck or circumstances or whatever, that he had such a great close to the year, then Kyra Lewis Jr. is a not all too dissimilar. He's a little quicker. Both Lewis and McLaughlin have great first steps. They can both score in the paint very well. They're both small. I mean, they're similar size. Kyra Lewis is probably a little bit quicker, more agile on both ends of the floor, and maybe a little bit of a better defender, but McLaughlin's a solid defender too. I really think that there's a lot of similarities between McLaughlin and Kyra Lewis. Now, to be a scoring point guard even, or whatever Lewis we'd see his role as, he needs to develop a little bit more as a playmaker. For his size and some of those limitations that he has, he needs to be able to do a little bit more with the ball in his hands than what he profiles at currently. A lot of the mocks that have him in the late teens, even down into the early 20s, I mean, he's 6'3", so he is bigger than McLaughlin. I guess I undersold his height a little bit with a 6'6 wingspan, but he's not super switchable, just like McLaughlin is. I mean, McLaughlin's maybe 6 feet tall. I think he's listed at 5'11". Kyra Lewis has a little more size, a little more quickness. There's probably a higher upside there than McLaughlin, but he's not as good of a shooter. McLaughlin surprised a little bit. He shot a little above league average from three last year. And that, you know, it was a surprise. And if that's for real, if McLaughlin can shoot 35, 36, 37% from three, then that's a big plus for him. Kyra Lewis is not going to step in and be able to do that right away. He's going to rely more on athleticism, more on some of his quickness getting into the paint in terms of offense, and he's less of a spot up shooter type guy. He is intelligent and a good defender, and as I said, very active and very agile, moves well laterally, all those things. And so I think that he could be an effective defender and probably has some higher upside because of his size, athleticism, and also that quickness. I think that there is a higher upside for Lewis early in his career than perhaps there is for McLaughlin, who's already, I think, 24 years old. He was a 4-year college player, played 1 year in the G League. And Lewis is only 19. So all that to say, if McLaughlin hadn't had a breakout, I'd be really targeting Kyra Lewis with that 17th pick, or perhaps if there's a trade up or trade back option, whether it's trading back from one or trading up from 17, I think it's pretty likely he gets picked in the teens. And again, I have him at number 12. A lot of mocks have him a little bit lower. He's the one player that I mentioned in the last segment that the consensus mock draft at NBA.com actually has him going all the way up to 8 to the New York Knicks. So he's one of those guys that could go anywhere from, you know, mid lottery down to late first round. Wolves are right in the middle of that. I actually really like him as a prospect. And again, if McLaughlin didn't have his breakout, he's probably in my top 10 in terms of, and this is, I guess, your daily reminder when we go through this big board, that this big board is from the perspective of the Timberwolves. It's not team in a vacuum. It's not ranking prospects. It's, if I was in the Timberwolves front office, how would I rank my big board? Kyra Lewis would be number 12 on my big board. And if he's there at 17, then you have to take him. And I think there's probably a pretty real possibility that that's the case with the number of mocks that have him in that range at this stage in the draft preparation process. So he's a really interesting one, and backup point guard could still be seen as a need for the Timberwolves, depending on your thoughts of McLaughlin and what the Wolves' thoughts of McLaughlin are, and also what they do with number one. If they take LaMelo Ball number one, it's probably pretty unlikely that they draft Kyra Lewis at 17, or that they make a move up to draft Kyra Lewis for that matter. But if they draft Anthony Edwards at one, perhaps Lewis is a target in the middle of the first round. So that's another factor that definitely plays into this. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. As always, I want to remind you that we're back daily Monday through Friday. That means we'll be back on Thursday, that's tomorrow, and we will be talking, we didn't even talk NBA Finals today, but that kicks off this evening, Lakers and Heat, so we'll talk a little bit about that and get back into the big board, numbers 13 and 14. We're getting ever closer to the Timberwolves selection at number 17. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.